You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
Welcome to another episode of The Wicked Horror Show. With us today, we have Kevin.
What's going on, everybody?
Yo, yo.
Hey, everybody.
Tony.
What is going on, people?
And Tony, would you like to introduce our awesome guest this evening?
I would, sure. I don't know what I would go with. Anyway, tonight we have Bobby Causton on, the writer, director of the short film Eden, and you have other stuff coming out as well. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Hot, yeah. Warm, but good. Yeah. I was commenting on the fact that you're wearing a winter hat, and it's, I'm jealous. But
I keep it cold.
Yeah. I wish I could keep my house cold. But yeah. So Eden, I know Tony sent this to us like last week, and it's one of those shorts where I put it on, and I was like, wait, it's already over? Like, huh? Like,
yeah, that made me sad.
Yeah.
It's
something where it was just what was there was really good, and I kind of want to see like an expansion on that. But
yeah, so we definitely need to talk about that end shot without giving anything away. But also for anybody interested in checking out Eden and why wouldn't you? There's a link down below or up above, depending on where you're watching or listening to us. So after tonight's show, click that link and you can watch the whole thing right there.
Yeah, it's only like a little over five minutes, right?
Yep.
So
the film itself is probably like 3 minutes. There's like an extra 2 minute credits, which I learned. I realized I really wanted to make a full, like the full film experience. And I realized it being so short, I had a lot of comments. People like, well, the film is only 3 minutes and then there's another 3 minutes of credits. And I was like, I learned from that. So the next one, it'll be mainly just the film.
But still, you know, what's there, I thought was really good. You've done a lot of shorts looking at your IMDb. Are they usually around that time frame, or was this an exercise to try to do something in a certain amount of time, or was it?
That's a good question. My background is from skits. I kind of started my whole film excursion from the skit background. Me and my friends used to make a whole bunch of like comedic short, little skits, and they were always usually under 5 minutes. So I was always used to making really short form content. But as far as when I started to get really into film, that's when I kind of started to notice that I probably needed to add a little bit more size on the timestamp side. But so far, most of my films are usually, like I said, the actual film portion is usually like around 3 to 4 minutes. But like I said, with this new film, the film itself is actually 5 minutes. I just got done shooting or helping co-direct and being a part of another short film with another production company that's over 20 minutes. So I'm slowly building my way up. I feel like I can have a stronger story when I have a little bit less time to deal with. So I can build later.
Yeah. So is there any intention to expand on this one, on Eden?
Yes. With all of the good feedback that I've gotten, I've had a couple of different people reach out to me about expanding, turning it into a feature. I have some ideas of what direction I want to go in and how I want to expand on Eden's story and the guys' stories and how they correlate with Eden. But yeah, definitely thinking about doing something a lot bigger.
Nice.
Yeah, it was definitely one. I saw it on YouTube. I was scrolling through and I was looking at different, short films and whatever. And just the screenshot of it, I'm like, this one has to be good. And then I'm watching it, really enjoyed it. And then I'm like, I need some more.
You know, a lot of people gave me crap for the thumbnail. A lot of people were like, you're going to give it away. And I was like, yeah, but no, I thought that that would bring people, like a lot of people, like, okay, myself, just like you guys, I find myself scrolling through YouTube all the time. And I'm always looking for, I love horror, love watching horror. I'm a big, big horror fan. So I always look for the creepiest, like, because I don't get scared. Nothing really scares me. So I always try to find something that really kind of makes me jump out of my socks a little bit. And I think the thumbnail is where you grab that attention. And that's all the thumbnail. That's what I thought.
Right. Yeah.
I definitely agree with you on that one. Like,
yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, you.
Because I mean, that's going to be like your reason why you click and watch it. So like, you got to bring those people in. And that was a good move to make, honestly.
Totally. So, I can grab that picture if we want to show it.
Sure, if you want to do that, but I saw that and I'm like, I gotta see what this is, because at that point in time, you know, even if it says you, because some shorts you see just the name of the short or something like that, that one I'm just like, this is gonna be good, whatever it is, it's gonna be good. Then I got into it, and I was watching, and I'm like, oh, now I need to know like what else happened or whatever. It reminded me of. When I was watching it, part of it, there's a short part in VHS. I don't know if you ever saw VHS.
Oh, there's yeah, one, definitely.
The one part where they find that girl in the club and she's
in the little motel room.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, this has that feeling to it. Definitely not the same story plot, but it reminded me of that so much. And I'm like, okay. And then I was like, oh, I need some more. Because we had plenty of time. That one right there.
Yeah, there you go.
She is. What that mouth do.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I saw that and I was like, I want to see like how it transitions from, like, does it start off that way? Like, it made me want to, like, just that image alone, I was just like, okay, I need to figure out, I need to see how it gets to that point.
I'm glad I made the right choice.
Oh, totally.
Especially, we watch a little bit of everything in horror, but I mean that thing just grabbed me. I'm like, I gotta check this out. No matter what, I'm scrolling through. I'm like, that one's definitely for me. Man, and then
make me blush.
And then it was one of those things we had many a times where, you know, we had people on with short films, and it's like, do you need to expand on it or don't you? And this one, it definitely needs to, you know, have a feature length because sometimes you get in certain shorts, you're like, oh, you know, I got what I needed, and I really don't need any more explanation. But this one, you have so many routes that you can go, like, where'd she come from, or what were they doing beforehand? Or
right. That's what I was going to say. It's like, it's not only just, you know, obviously I want to know more of her backstory, but even what led you guys up to that moment. You know, I want to know more about, like, there was like comments about one of the guys in the group. Like, okay, where is that coming from? I want to know, like, why they're saying this, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, so I think it's you can expand on it in multiple directions too. So I don't know. I think it's totally worth it. You should totally look into it. Hopefully, eventually.
I definitely will. And one of the main reasons why is I'm a fan of symbolism and I'm a fan of Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I really like to dig deep. One of the films that I recently rewatched was Get Out. Because I'm a huge fan of Jordan Peele, and my upcoming film is kind of a little bit not really inspired by, but I take a lot of inspiration, I guess. So I guess I'm inspired by. But a lot of things I like about his film is that you can go back and you can watch it multiple times, and you can learn new things, and you can find out new little, like, oh, wow, that means that, and this connects with this. So with Eden, I kind of wanted to set it up as if you don't know the full story, but you're still getting enough of rewatchability to try to find out your own story. You're trying to imagine, like, what happened before, where did she come from, what kind of clues am I getting? And I'm getting better at that, too. I think with this film, I have a lot more symbolism and kind of, like, Easter eggs where you can grasp things. But, I'm definitely thinking about expanding on that film.
Cool.
100%.
And you said that you have some other stuff in the works as well. You said you're dealing with a lot of symbolism and stuff. And you were saying a little before, like, one of the ones you have coming out, there's like stuff tied in with what's going on in the world right now.
Definitely. I didn't want to take this time of me sitting in the house, you know, not being able to really go out, you know, due to COVID and trying to play my part, especially with all the things that are going on, you know, the Black man in America, and kind of turn a blind eye, especially with the creative aspect of my life. I decided to really try to make something that hammers in, you know, what I love to do and what I love to watch. So like entertainment and horror and, you know, drama, thriller, just all those aspects into also my sort of artistic process. So there are a lot of symbolisms. There are a lot of little things that you really have to listen and watch for. But it's also very deeply rooted in, you know, just the brutality of Black men, the oppression of Black men. So, I mean, when you watch it, you really see how this person has come to where he's at.
Nice. You said that's coming out soon, right?
Tomorrow, right?
Thursday. So 25th June. Yep, 7 p.m.
Nice.
Be there, be square.
I'll be both. I'll be square and I'll be there.
Cool.
Now, will that be on your YouTube page?
Yes, it'll be on I88's YouTube page. It'll be a premiere, so there'll be a live chat and everything. And yeah, it'll definitely be there.
Very cool. I got the link to that in the show notes as well. So if you want to check out I88's YouTube page and subscribe, and then hit the little ding button so you can.
Yeah, go ahead. Help your boy out.
So what was some things that got you into horror? Was there like a certain movie that you watch and you're like, okay, this hooked me in? Because I know we all kind of have that one movie that's like, okay, this somehow got me. Like mine was, as crazy as it was Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I was like, what am I watching? Deal when it got me into it. Was there one specific movie you watched that you're like, you know, I like what I'm watching and now I'm watching more?
You know what? I never really thought about it that deep. If anything, for me when I was younger, I was scared of all kinds of crap. Like I used to hate watching scary movies. I used to hate it. But my one top fear, and it's still kind of this to this day, but my one top fear was werewolves. Oh my gosh. I remember one time I was at one of my aunt's house and they just had the TV on in the background. The movie that was playing was American Werewolf in London. And it just happened to be the scene where the main character turns into the werewolf for the first time. And as many of you know, as I'm pretty sure that is probably the most excruciatingly realistic portrayal of a human transforming into a wolf. And it scarred me so bad. I remember watching it and I was just like, oh my gosh, what am I watching? And I just remember having nightmares about it. And then I was already afraid of werewolves before then just because they were gruesome and big. But as I got older, I became fascinated with how I was scared. I mean, if that makes sense, I just was like, I watched more and more horror films, and I watched that film multiple times. I've watched all of the Werewolf in London, like spin-offs. I've watched them all just because I was so fascinated by how they did it and how it made me feel. So from there, I just decided that, you know, when I started getting into film, I like creating that adrenaline rush, that tension for the viewer. So that's kind of where it started. There was no real, man, I just want to do horror films. It was just kind of like, man, I kind of think I can do some cool effects to scare some people. That's kind of where it started.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. I was going to bring up, like, you know, it's what you're doing is lower budget independent stuff, but like even that, the image that Leo shared, you know, yeah, exactly that image. Mm-hmm. So what are you like, how are you pulling this off? Like, do you do the visual effects yourself, or do you have someone in your crew that does it, or?
No, actually the girl, she actually had a detachable job. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I do everything myself, all the VFX. Like I said, I came from a skit background. So I remember I made this one skit where I was a superhero, and I had always wanted to be a superhero in like a movie. And so I did it myself. And that's when my, you know, I started learning VFX and After Effects and Red Giant and compositing and things like that. That's actually a very simple effect, to be honest. A lot of people look at it and they're like, oh, it's so good. And it's like, I just kind of got lucky. I really got a good angle and good framing, good lighting and everything like that. So it came out really good. It's a very simple effect. Nice. But yeah, I did do it all myself pretty much.
That's cool. But yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like the lighting, you mentioned the lighting, that definitely helps because, you know, it's obviously not a practical effect, but at the same time, with just the right lighting, it's less obvious that it's a CG effect. Exactly. So, yeah.
And I think what helped is there is some practicality in the effects. Like, she did have a blood capsule in her mouth, which created the drool, which kind of added. And I think what also really added to that particular scene was the sound effects. With him and the sound effects. And I think it really kind of brought out the fact that, you know, I kind of had some bone-breaking sound effects with something like her jaw was detaching. Just a lot of stuff to kind of add to that. Wow, this really realistic.
Yeah. I just want to point out that when you said that you went ham, it took me a second to realize that you didn't say it, we had wet ham as sound effects. That's what I thought you said.
I mean, I would get a wet ham and smack it. That would make some good sound effects.
Well, to tell you the truth, with sound effects, you ever see, I think it was a documentary where, you know, to make this sound, they use something you would never think of.
Yeah.
Like celery.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous what they do for
the wet ham. I know. But
no,
that's crazy. So you said that you were in doing like sketch stuff before too. Like is that something that you're gonna still like revisit, like the comedy stuff too?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I actually have a small episodic that I've pretty much been writing, where it's gonna be kind of on the, because it's where I live. I live in Arlington, Texas, kind of in that area. And there's a very big music scene where I live. So I kind of want to do some kind of like Dave Atlanta kind of crossover comedy, surrealism kind of show with a lot of people that I know. I'm still in basically creating it with the same people that I was doing skits with. So we're basically just making our skits, but as an episodic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Keeping yourself busy, that's awesome, you know.
Like, yeah, try. Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this? Like, how long have you been at this?
Well, I've only been creating video. Well, I started creating video in 2014, 2015-ish.
Oh, wow.
That's when I got my first camera, and I used to watch skits all the time on YouTube, and I just wanted to create skits. And I was just for fun. I used to actually make music. So that was my main thing. And then eventually it got really recognizable and I had a lot of fun with it. I got more friends that were in them. I got really good at doing, you know, the VFX and stuff. Come 2017, both of my dreams were either being a musician or being an actor. So that's where I started hardcore pursuing acting. I got an agent, got resume and headshots, and did some commercial work, all kinds of different things. Been in a lot of student short films, and that's when I started to find my local film.
Nice.
That's when I was like, okay. And then, you know, as an actor, there's a lot of times when you're not booking anything. So, you know, for me to fill my resume up, the only thing I could do was, okay, let me use my skits or let me use my camera and let me make my own stuff. And then I just went down a deep rabbit hole of filmmaking and directing and lighting, gaff, like all this. I've probably done every aspect of filmmaking. There is to do, writing, everything. And that's kind of where I built my filmmaking knowledge. And then working at Best Buy was like the perfect godsend because I was around technology all the time. I knew everything about cameras. I knew everything about computers. It was just kind of like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, and that employee discount. Let's not forget about that.
Definitely helped out.
We were talking beforehand, and I worked at Best Buy back in like the 90s. And, When I worked there, that's most of the reason why I had to file bankruptcy was because when I worked at Best Buy, that's when we had the giant TVs. I spent like $700 on a 27-inch.
And that's when the employee discount was really good.
So yeah, it was 5% above cost is what it was. So it was like car audio, home audio. It was like almost half off. It was great. Yeah,
I'm taking it all home.
I had a Volvo station wagon that barely ran, but I had all Rockford Fosgate.
The best sound system.
Oh my God. It was so good. It would like just rattle the rust right off of it. It was great.
You're like break apart. You hit a like turn up the bass.
You're not even kidding.
But just imagine seeing a hoopty drive down your street with the best sound you ever heard. But it's just like it's such a cool little mind F.
It wasn't that cool. Like I would turn the corner, my exhaust would fall off. I would have to pull over and pick it up and put it in the back of the car.
But maybe it'll fall off.
Your music sounded amazing.
Yeah. It would cover up all the you know the loud sounds of my car.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was good. But yeah, good old days of spending way too much money on things. I still.
So now the two other actors that were in Eden, were they in your comedy shorts too, or?
So, those guys I met, they both live in the area, of course, and they were both actually the shorter one. His name is Benjamin Abiola. He's a really good friend of mine. He's also kind of like a mentor. He's an actor in California, but he grew up in Arlington and he actually graduated from my high school. So that's kind of how we linked up. We had mutual friends. I kind of reached out to him. I was like, hey man, if you're ever back in town, let's make some stuff. And that's kind of how we started is we did a couple of skits here and there. And that was in my original group. My original group, we still kind of link up today and we still kind of come up with, those are going to be the guys who are going to be part of the episodic. But those guys, Benjamin Abiola and Charles Brakes, those were the guys that were in Eden. We all kind of just found each other and had same interests, similar interests, and very talented guys. I mean, Charles is amazing behind the camera and a great actor. And then Benjamin is just an amazing director, writer, triple threat actor. I mean, he has his own production company that is also part of Eden, Don't Wait Create. And we kind of, just kind of linked up and tried to create something together. And I had been wanting to do some horror stuff for a while. We had done a lot of drama stuff before that. So I kind of just told them, hey, I've done y'all stuff. Now y'all can be mine.
Nice.
Yeah,
I was going to say how hard I didn't know if they were the same ones in your comedy. Being like, yeah, you know, we've done comedy here. How about you just hop ship to horror and, you know, get killed here?
You know, it's always so funny because you see some people's channels who have like the same actors and the same people in all of them, but it's always crazy to see them jump genres. So it's like at first you're laughing from them and now you're like your heart's pumping like crazy from like, you know, from the same people. And that's kind of what I wanted IEA to be. You see the same people all the time, but different like genres, different feelings. So just to kind of give you that like familiarity, but also to kind of hit you with a new wave every day.
You're also getting the chance to like show their range.
Exactly. That too. That was the main thing. Yep. Good deal. That was definitely.
That's what I was going to say. You were talking about Jordan Peele earlier and he throws a lot of comedic actors in his movies and you know, the few movies, the horror movies that he's done that have both been phenomenal, but there's actors that you've never seen in those style of movie before. And I'm like, wow, they can knock it out of the park here.
That's like,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's like some of my favorite actors. You look at, I mean, one of my favorite actors of all time is Robin Williams. So you have him, you know, from Hook. I grew up with Hook and all this stuff, but then you got him in like 1 hour photo and stuff like that, where it's just like completely opposite, or like Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington can do anything. And another one is I grew up with Marlon Wayans when he was in all his stuff with the Wayans brothers and
Color
and stuff like that. Don't Be a Menace. Mm-hmm. And then he was in what's that one?
Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream.
Yes.
So you go from like, you know, a comedic genius to like the I cringe every time I watch that movie.
Yeah.
But from one to the other, it just shows your wide a range of, you know, acting talent. If you get pigeonholed, it's like, okay, I like you in this, but I've never seen you venture out and do something else. But
that's the one thing I was going to say that too. Like, it's awesome that, you know, you're still like fairly early in your journey with this, but you're not like, there's a lot of people that just like, I'm just a horror guy or I'm just a drama guy or whatever. It's like you're spreading out there. So, I mean, just shows better range. So that way, because there's people that we know that we've met at cons and stuff like that, that like the only work they get is horror. Like they want to do something else, but no one, like they're like, I can't put you in this. You're the person from this movie. Like how's that gonna work? You know?
And that's such a pinpoint, because you know, one of my main inspirations for Ideate is A24.
Mm-hmm.
24 is probably if you look at my list of production companies, they're probably at the very top, the number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I love how they have such a broad range of films.
Mm-hmm.
They go from horror to drama to comedy to wacky
western,
like, you know, like, I mean, you have movies like The Lobster and Tusk, which are completely weird movies, but they're so good. And then you go to Hereditary, which is, you know, probably one of the scariest movies I've ever seen to date. And I don't even get scared. I'm just telling you guys, I don't really actually put a little fear in my heart. Like, and it's just, that's kind of what I want to model after. And like I said, I like how A24 reuses a lot of similar actors. Lucas Hedges is probably in almost every A24 movie I've seen, but it's like Robert, you really see his range.
Hmm.
And that's why I kind of want to basically make some good stuff, but also market my friends and show that we all can do multitude of different things.
Yeah. Now, have you ever thought of, or do you like ever dabble in like theater at all? Like, or you just do film, or do you do live in high school?
High school, that's all I did was theater. I was a choir boy, and I was also in theater. I mean, of course, I played football and everything too. I did so many things in high school. High school, really, I tried to use as a, I mean, I don't know, I didn't know it at the time, but now I'm realizing how I really use high school. Is like, I really tried to figure out where I wanted to be, if I wanted to really commit to sports, or if I really wanted to commit to theatrical arts. And of course, I picked the arts, and I was in choir and theater, and I did like maybe two or three shows in high school. But I realized that I'm a smaller actor. Like, I'm more of I feel more relaxed when I'm contained. Not necessarily big and loud and, you know, in a theater, more like, you know, closer in details. Like, I like that a lot more.
Yeah, the only reason I'm asking is because I see a lot of, like, awesome theater actors that never even have been in front of a camera. But at the same time, too, there's a lot of, like, film actors that also do that in quiet, you know, times where it may be, like, a season for them where they're not getting a ton of work.
Willem Dafoe is a good one.
Yeah. And
does a lot of theater, but he's also very prominent in front of the camera too.
Yeah, but I can't even imagine. Like, there's only been like one person that I'm thinking of, and I mentioned him earlier. It was Tony Todd. And I went to a show with him in Connecticut, and it was like that. The amount of power that came off the stage from everyone in that, you know, and in the cast, it was like ridiculous. You know, it's one thing to watch, you know, when you watch a movie, if it affects you, but you're in the same room as it when it's happening. I was telling everyone, like, it was so intense, I felt like I needed to like almost run out of the room. So I'm like, I'm gonna get hurt, like something's gonna happen. And I was just like, this is crazy. So I was just curious, like, I really funny. So it's something to maybe think about down the road.
Yeah, because you know, I watch a lot of Timothy Chalamet. His old theater performances, and I kind of feel the same way, because he does it so well that he does. It's almost like he's still acting on the same level as if he was in on camera. So that maybe that is something that I mean I've thought about it. I've definitely thought about it. I know there's a lot more work. I mean, there's equal work in each realm, but I know there's definitely a lot more learning when it comes to theater. So I definitely, you know, eventually when I'm in a more comfortable, really, you know, get my feet wet back on the stage.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's cool, and I like seeing it. So, I mean, I would never do it because I'm a wuss and I can't act. But I just think it's a good tool. I think, I don't know. But who am I? I don't make movies. I just watch them. So whatever. Forget what I said.
Hey, watching movies is the best way to learn how to act. It's the best way. 100%. That's how I learned
to spend the pandemic is watching movies.
Well. You know too. What else helps you act?
Deadly Grounds Coffee.
Yeah, you know, you need caffeine to spark the brain and get yourself going. But you know, this means that we're going to be talking about Deadly Grounds Coffee. They're a sponsor of ours. They help the network keep on going. Definitely help pay the bills there. And I'm not joking with you. Absolutely best coffee you'll ever have. I have 19 bags downstairs that I'm plowing through. And
some now.
19 bags. You just eat about a spoonful.
Yep, exactly.
So high.
Actually, I finished a bag today, so I have 18 bags. So,
like, just downstairs, like, in the bag into his mouth.
But you look so lively.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Imagine if you didn't drink coffee. You'd just be like...
I tried, like, I tried to, like, tone it down a little bit today. I didn't have any coffee till like, 2 o'clock, and I was like, oh, my God.
You punched holes in the wall?
Yeah. Oh, it was tough. I was feeling so drowsy. But, you know, like I said, absolute best coffee you'll ever have. It's the best tasting coffee you'll ever have. Witch's Brew Chocolate Raspberry is one of my favorites. Just Death by Chocolate is a really good one as well. If you don't like flavored, Kevin, what do you drink?
Hell's Fury is my jam, and I mix Hell's Fury and Maple Walnut together.
Oh, that's good.
That's what I've been drinking lately.
There we go. Yeah. But it's, no added sugars to add extra calories or anything like that. It's just oil during the roasting process. But enough talking about that. Here's a zombie talking about coffee.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly. Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
And we didn't mention they're a local roaster right here in Connecticut. So support local businesses.
Well, local to you. They're not local to anyone else in this room.
Well, they're a small business, local. Yeah.
I'm just saying that, but I still support them, obviously. Yeah. I can't wait to buy from them at a convention again.
Yeah, I know. We'll be there next year.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm socially distanced, though.
Well, did they mention anything for, like, the fall season or the fall, you know?
No. Yeah, you're looking at next year, my friend.
Yeah,
especially if we're entering we never really ended a wave one. It's more like a wave one.
Not to bring the room down, but no, serious. Like, I know, like, in Yo-Yo and I's area, like, it's picked up again. There was, like, another, I think there was, like, I think they're up to, like, 900 deaths total. And
there was good news about masks, though. They did a report.
First time ever. What?
It's the top state for least transmittable.
Okay.
So
what, like, state?
For Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yo-Yo and I are both in Mass. And Leo's in Connecticut and Tony's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I was going to, like, you're in Texas. And I was going to be like, oh, did you know Billy Pond? But, Texas is a giant state. So I'm sure you don't. You know, it's because you live in the same state. We know a couple filmmakers in Texas. Some really, really, really good.
What was his name?
His name is Billy Pond. He goes by Bloody Bill. He made a movie called Circus of the Dead. That's a really good time.
Yeah, there was
being released by Dread Central. Is that, yeah. You know? Yeah. But anyways,
did you? I mean, I guess it's a little hard now, of course. But did you ever think about doing the convention run, or did you ever go to a horror movie convention?
No, I haven't. I am very, like, 100% would go. I've definitely entered Eden into some film festivals, 100%. Some screening fests. I've entered it there. I've entered it in a couple of horror film fests. But no, I have. I've never been to a horror convention, but I would love to. That'd be actually kind of
cool. You got a. You just mentioned Texas Frightmare, right?
Yeah, Texas Frightmare. That's one that's on my bucket list. Like, when that comes.
That's
back,
one that I've entered too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one I definitely want to go to at some point when it comes back around, just because, like, there's always the photos and just the people that are there. They're all people that I want to hang out with. So it's like, I got to go there at some point. But it's it's really, like, once, you know, they have plenty of film festivals and, like, you know, even short film festivals and stuff like that. And, like, the amount of support that horror fans give, it's ridiculous. So get in good with the horror fans and you'll be set for a while. For real. They'll support you for everything you do because they just love people that are creating. So,
especially when you create stuff like that's different. Like I said, that picture caught me. So at that point, I'm like, that one right there.
You just keep footing it up.
Well, I got a couple of others. I mean, we should chat a little bit about production as well.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you. Actually, I didn't want to steal your thunder there, Tony. But you're talking about how you learned After Effects and everything. Do you want to talk a little bit about how this effect was made?
Well, yeah. Basically, we shot it, and initially in the behind the scenes video, I said that it was locked off. It actually wasn't locked off. It was shoulder rig. This was shot medium close up shoulder rig, and basically all I did was I tracked the footage, the position and the rotation on both of the eyes, and then basically put a clean plate under it. So basically what it does is the video gets this kind of like weird warp stabilized kind of look where it's kind of like shaking, but it's all basically just following the face. And then once you do that, there is a liquify effect, just like in Photoshop, that lets you just pull and pluck different parts of the face. Basically, I just grabbed the jaw and just pulled it down as far as I could, pulled it out some, kind of distorted her face, and of course, blacked out her eyes. And like I said, the jewel and everything was practical, so it was already there. The blood was already there.
Nice.
And Sergio, I see your question. Yes, I have seen every paranormal activity there is, and my best horror at all. What is my every best horror of all time? I would probably say Hereditary.
Right. Nice. Best. Just out of curiosity, do you ever watch Film Riot?
Oh, of course.
Oh, isn't it sick? It's sick. That's what you were mentioning. I'm like, I wonder if he watches Film Riot.
They're in Plano, and I used to live in Plano, and I've always wanted to go visit them. I actually wanted to be in one of their films. I tried to get like I had like a top comment for a while on one of their videos telling me like, how do I get in your film, like how do, because I think when the most recent film, There Comes a Knocking, I wanted to be in that film, but of course there was no place for me in that film, but still, like, one day I'm gonna be one of them.
Yeah they seem awesome. Like, I don't make films and I watch them because it's just very entertaining and interesting at the same time. It's like, it's crazy. And he, like I said, I've never made film, but he made me want to, like, I was like, maybe I should enroll to Full Sail University. Maybe I should.
Because man, YouTube University.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, he's teaching me everything I need to know anyways. Free. But anyways.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, how did you get I-88? Is that your whole like crew together, or is it a YouTube page that you post on, or what?
So it's my production company. It's a full-fledged production company. It's not like an LLC yet. I'm working on that right now. But it's definitely a full-fledged production company. I kind of started it because, like I said, I'm a big fan of A24 films. I'm a big fan of their marketing strategy. I love simple, like, I love very minimalistic, simple stuff. So, like, the A24 thing was just really sexy. Yo, man, that's really short and cool and rolls off the tongue. And I was always thinking of what I could do myself that was simple but had meaning behind it. So the I in I-88 stands for infinity. And the eights are also infinity symbols. So basically my whole process, or my whole thought process behind it, was infinite creativity and infinite films and like basically just infinity on all spectrums of the creativity level. And that's kind of where I got the I-88 from. And at first it was like kind of like a Star Wars kind of deal, like where there were stars.
I was gonna ask you that.
Yeah. it was mostly gonna be like space themed and everything like that. But I still kept the space theme. I just minimalized it a little bit. So it's still black and white, but on some of my I-88 stuff you'll see like stars and stuff like that, just because I really like the infinity of, you know, just everything. So
Keep going forever.
Yeah. Exactly. It won't stop. So
yeah, that's right.
Well, in your production video, you're talking about a upgrade to a 4K camera. What was the camera you have? What's your love there?
My baby, the Blackmagic Cinema Camera, Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 4K. Of course, the name is ridiculously hard, but it's the most amazing. It's so far the most amazing camera that I've ever had. And I always explain to people that it's on par with, you know, big budget Hollywood cameras because it's, you know, shoots raw. It's 10-bit. I think 10-bit or 12-bit. I don't know. But it's amazing color science. The biggest thing is raw. So you get these huge files, but they're so manipulative. Like I can change ISO after I've already shot, which is crazy. It just gives me a lot of range and freedom, and it gives me an amazing picture.
But the one thing with a camera, you know, we do know some filmmakers who have like higher end cameras, but you have to know how to use them or have people that you work with that know how to use them. So, I mean, that it's not just owning the camera, it's actually using it correctly. And so like, obviously you were in front of the camera, so you couldn't be behind the camera the whole time. Do you have people in your crew that are specific, like just people that just want to be cinematographers, or how does that work?
Yeah. So I don't have a set crew or kind of employee base for ID8. Like I said, it's kind of like a collective of just other creatives. So Upper Stage Media was also another production company that was a part of the film. And these are guys that also graduated from the same school that I went to that happened to know Benjamin Abiola. And he linked up with them, and they had the camera that I basically wanted to shoot this on. And we met with them and showed me some of their work, and they had really good cinematography. And we basically created a long-lasting friendship from there. And those guys are amazing. Shout out to Damian Marks and Tyler Freeman. Tyler was actually the DP, and Damian was actually our behind-the-scenes photographer, and he was also the first AC. So they basically got, and it's crazy because I drew out the storyboard for this film. I actually fully drew out, if you check out my Patreon, I give links to all of the behind the scenes media that I've created. So the mood board, I've created a pitch deck for it, the press kit, and also the storyboard I fully drew out. And he got each of the shots exactly. So it's like I think in my behind the scenes video, there's a shot where I show the film and then I show the actual storyboard next to it. And you can see like how perfectly he got them on. So,
wow. That's awesome. And even though the movie is like a shorter movie, how long did it take you to from beginning to end? How long did it take you to make this?
We shot in one night, probably like from 7 p.m. to 5 in the morning, or 4 in the morning, editing. And that's a good thing about, that's really the main aspect of pre-planning. If you do a really good pre-plan, post is so much easier. So I planned everything out exactly how I wanted in my head. So when I actually did the edit maybe took me a little less than a week, maybe a couple of days. Of course, what took me longest were the effects, which maybe took, you know, a good 6 or 7 hours just to get everything fine-tuned exactly how I wanted. But I mean, the edit in general took me maybe a couple of days. So it was a pretty fast turnaround. And I'm usually like that, man. I edit so quick now. It's like I get in and I'm out already.
The only thing I'm saying is imagine if you did this as a feature. It would imagine how long that would take you. Like it's like, oh, it took me a couple months. Hours. I'm like, it's yeah, exactly. But again, I'm hoping for a feature. I'm just saying.
Oh,
I think we're all in the same boat here. Am I right?
I'm listening to the people. I'm listening to the people. I got all you. Right.
Well, we're some of the people, and we want.
Well, yes.
There we go.
We need a feature. We need a feature.
Somebody have a heart attack.
Especially if they just tune into it and that's the first.
Yeah. It'll just come in and be like,
But it'd be even crazier if that's how she looks all the time. And like, this is just like, you know, when you go to it, she's like, oh, you dropped your keys. Like, it's actually a rom com. I'm just kidding. But I don't know.
Yeah. It's How I Ate Your Mother, right?
What did you say?
How I Ate Your Mother.
Oh, gee. Boo. Anyway.
Yeah, that's going to be a new skit idea. When your girl just, their mouth stuck.
There you go. You dropped it.
Yeah. Just lockjaw.
Really good. I think that was her first time in a real film.
Really?
Yeah, she's a pretty big Instagram influencer. So we kind of reached out to her because we all knew they knew her through mutual friends, and she came out and she killed it.
Mm, literally. Huh?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
Killed us too. Yep. Maybe not all of us.
Yeah. So, because we're actually almost at the 50-minute mark here. So we definitely want to make sure that we get everything in that you have coming up. So on Thursday, you have the premiere. What's the name of that short?
The film is called Cycle, and it's a horror thriller drama, but mostly horror.
So it's a feel good. It's a rom, you know, it's everything but a rom-com. Yeah.
Everything but a rom-com.
Yeah, and you said you're doing like a live chat and everything, and that's at 7 p.m. What's the time zone on that?
That'll be 7 p.m. CST time, so Texas time. I think 6 p.m.
Eastern Standard.
Eastern Standard, I believe.
What time is it now where you are?
Where I'm at now, it's almost 9.
Okay, and it's almost 10 here. So,
yeah. Central
Standard. So, an hour after, I guess, for you guys. So, it'll be like 8 p.m. for you guys. And there will be, it's going to be a premiere, so it'll be a live chat, like on YouTube, where you can actually, you know, come in and be like, hey, what's up? What you doing? And, you know, kind of give out your theories and you're like, oh, wow, this is there. Like, that's one thing I want people to look for when they watch it, is to really kind of pay attention to the little things in the background. Really pay attention to the little things, because there's going to be a lot of little symbolism.
And the people out there, it's Thursday is only a couple days away, so you have plenty of time to just watch Eden over and over again.
Oh yeah, watch it a couple times.
Yeah, look for as much as you can, and then put that in the comments there as well, and then they'll be like, "Hey, this isn't about Eden; it's about the other one."
And then comment and tell me what you want to see in the feature of Eden.
Yes.
You know what's actually pretty good with these live streams and everything? I think it's actually pretty cool because in the theaters and everything, of course, everybody's watching the movie together, but everyone has to be, you know, quiet and everything. Nobody likes talking. With these live streams, you get, because everybody watches a movie a different way and gets a lot of different stuff from movies. So having that live chat ability, I think it's really cool because, like I said, everybody watches it different, sees it different, and like takes different things from it. So as you're, you know, going through the movie and talking with each other, what'd you get from this or whatever, I think that's really cool.
Then you can go back. Like somebody said, did you see that? You can go back and you're like, oh wow, that's crazy. Which you really can't do that in a movie unless you're with somebody who sees it and they're like, hey, did you see that? So,
but then everybody's telling you to shush and exactly. it's one of those things. I think especially now, I see it pop up all the time where it's like a, you know, whatever, everybody will pop in the same movie or someone will have their camera on the movie and everybody's watching it. I think it's actually making a good thing out of it, a bad thing kind of deal. It's really cool.
It's one of the positives about us moving toward a more virtual technological society.
But at the same time though, like I would enjoy it going back somewhat to what it was, because I like to see movies in the theater. And it would be, how cool would it be to make like a movie, like a full length feature or something that's in a theater? Like
watch it in a real, I mean, my computer screen is nice, but it's not that nice.
Right.
My speakers, I don't have 5.1, 7.1, 7.2 surround sound in here. So that's definitely something that it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It will.
The full feature of Eden will be in the theaters. Mark my words.
Nice.
Now, ever think of putting some of your shorts together and putting it out on like physical media or anything like that? Or right now you'll just keep it on, you know, YouTube and stuff?
I mean, maybe in the future. I know right now trying to distribute and trying to get hard copies for it, because a lot of people, because my thing is that everybody's so streamed. Everybody's streamed Netflix, Hulu. If anything, I would try to get distribution for something to be on like Hulu, because I've seen some shorts on Hulu or, you know, different places like that. But even then, I feel like YouTube is so much more of a efficient source for the films right now, especially with them being so short, you know, because right now I'm not even thinking about going over going to do anything over 10 minutes. Because I know when I watch stuff and I see a 10-minute thing over, you know, I kind of second guess if I want to watch it. So I really, you know, people really gravitate, you know, our minds, our attention spans get shorter and shorter and shorter with every generation. So I want to really kind of capitalize. And then eventually, of course, when I do start making features and, you know, going into theaters, of course, everything's going to be physical just to have it, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is even the shorts, like Tony was bringing up, the shorts on like physical media, like once you're going farther in your career and you're starting to make it, it's something where, like, as a collector, your fans are going to want to have something tangible, like, you know, even if it's something where it's like, hey, here's this special release, like it's a limited release thing signed by me, blah blah blah, blah, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't even have a DVD player, but I have the film. Like, that's the
I hear you. I have a wall of movies back here, and I can't tell you the last time I've actually played a physical disc. I can't tell you.
It's kind of like that. It's not really nostalgia, but it's that kind of like you said, collector's kind of feeling. And I think that it's something that kind of like I keep. I definitely the movie posters. But you guys can see the Eve movie poster right there, and a little kind of snippet of the film. But I definitely like to keep something tangible from each film. I have all the scripts from every film that I've done. I definitely feel that tangibility. Is a really big aspect.
Cool. And I know Sergio asked a couple questions that I'm not quite following, but most DVDs are letterboxed, so you get the box top and bottom, the bar top and bottom.
Most DVDs are.
Yeah, it's not full screen.
It's been a long time, but I remember I put all my DVDs, I took most of my DVDs out of cases and put it in like a big binder, and a lot of them are double sided, full screen on one side, widescreen on the other. It's old school right there.
Yeah. Well, and then full screen is still just the, what is it?
Square. It's,
3x4.
Something like that.
Yeah, or 3x4. They're both.
Yeah.
Either one.
Yeah, actually, I was excited because I was able to get a hacked version of Avengers, which was full screen. It was taken from the IMAX one.
What's that? I just popped into my head talking about shorts. Is QB, is that only like TV shows shorts, or is it like movies?
Full movies. They have some full movies, and they have some. They have like series. I don't know how you say that as plural, but they have series as well.
Because I know they got the whole cast of Reno 911 back together, and that's all on QB. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's like still, it's only like, I don't know, for a show like that, it's like, you should just do a regular show.
And it's like a lot of people kind of, you know, everybody is very competitive right now with the streaming services, so that kind of will look down on it until something's on it.
Right. Well, that's the thing is they've spent a ton of money and there's a lot of big names on it, but it's not doing very well. Like, I guess people aren't paying for it because it's not free either, you know. I don't know, because they're trying to cash in on the attention span of people like being so short.
And that's kind of how I feel about HBO charges an arm and a leg, and it's like the only time I'll pay for HBO again is when they release the Snyder Cut of Justice League, and then I'll cancel it right after.
Leo's like, preach it. That's right.
Well,
Leo's still going to pay for it.
The new Looney Tunes is really good.
Anyways.
And, Perry Mason, they're saying that
okay, Grandpa. Drink your broth.
It broke some records
for the biggest waste of money. Sorry.
No, I wasn't actually aware that it actually cost money, because there's something about that just seemed like they should have just made it ad based and free. It wasn't until you said that it cost money for that.
Yeah.
What, HBO Max?
No, QB.
Well, HBO Max is like $15 a month. I'm not exactly sure how much Quibi is, but
$5 a month for an ad. Supported version, and then $8 if you don't want ads. Like, they should have just been done free with ads.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, with it being all original content, like everything on there is majority original, like from like Quibi itself, like that's their own produced content. So you would think that, you know, you would start off with an ad base, but man, people are so used to these pay to play subscription kind of thing now, so.
I have enough of them. I can't like, if I want anything more, I have to get rid of something else. Like, it's like, if you want this, get rid of Shudder. I'm like, I'm not getting rid of Shudder. So.
Shudder's good. Shudder's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe like 90, like, if you're gonna like charge 99 cents with ads.
Yeah. Like, that'd be a good deal. Yeah,
like, that format does not seem right for what they're actually offering.
Yeah, considering just like, you know, like he's doing, how much original content is there on YouTube? And it's free. You can pay to have no ads, but it's free.
Well, monetized.
Yeah, they really push that premium service though. I keep on doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I open the app on my phone, it's like, do you want to try this? I'm like, I don't. Again.
Yeah, how many have you denied that free trial?
I already have that, so.
Well, toot toot, yo-yo, toot toot.
Yep, I am happy about that.
Well, then also Apple TV, there's, you know, they're charging $5 a month for that, and it's like, there's nothing on it.
And now there's Disney Plus, and I've probably seen every single movie that Disney Plus had already had to offer.
Well, I have a niece who has Disney Plus, and she also gave me her login. So thanks, Megan. shout out to Megan. Thank you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have seen The Mandalorian. So we just talked about pay services for a while, and we should be talking about our guest and where to check out his stuff, because we're at the hour mark. So
we are.
So you want to get a rundown?
For our guest, we have all the information in the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching or listening to us. Bobby, where do you like interacting with your fans, and where do you want them to go the most?
YouTube. Go to the I88, you can either do the I88 YouTube page and then go to the community tab, and I try to make posts there and, you know, comment on there. I like to, you know, reply to those a lot. I've just created the I88 Instagram finally. Or you can just follow me, Bobby Carlson, on Instagram. I'll probably most likely respond way faster from my actual Instagram. You can either do the I88 Instagram, YouTube, or you follow me.
Sounds good. And again, you can find out all that information in the show notes. The links are right there. Tony.
You can find me at Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, where I do movie reviews and unboxings and stuff. I do have a contest going on, so you could enter into that. Tony Has Nine Fingers on Twitter. Tony's Movies on Instagram, where I show off the movies behind me. And of course, here every Tuesday on the Wicked Horror Show. Yo-Yo?
Boy Meets Phone on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Yo St. Laurent on most of those same social media channels. And of course, you can find me here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Kevin?
Anacle on Twitter and Instagram every Tuesday night here. I'm also doing movie reviews with the 13th Wolfman over on the audio side of the show. And I'm also part of Secret Underground Hideout and Black and White Fright, all of which are on the network. Leo.
Yeah, speaking of the network, you can find everything at thedorkening.com. And for me, just Google Leo Pond. You'll find a bunch of stuff. Could be true, could be not. As always, I'm not going to tell which is which. I want to thank you all for watching. And go watch Eden. The show's over. So click on the link down below. Go watch it. 5 minutes. You'll love it.
Then watch it again. And then after that, watch it again. And then on Thursday, go watch the other one.
Okay. We'll catch you guys later. Bye, everybody.
Peace out, guys. Oh, that put them on to you.